Luke 1, 71.
Judy can speak Norwegian.
What?
Judy told me you do speak Norwegian. Look,
I can understand it, and I can speak a few words, but... Anyhow. Verse 71 is that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. We started to talk about saved, soteria, and we've seen that salvation isn't something that Jesus gives. He is salvation, and that's a huge, huge deal. Because for the most of Christianity today, salvation is something that you get, instead of salvation is something that he is. Do you see that? So we got to look at some other... We looked at yesterday about how the same word is you're saved from the sea, or you're saved from prison, or you're saved from the flood, or... And it's a temporary thing in the same way that being filled with the Spirit. But for us, salvation is a person. And it isn't something that we get. So let's go to Acts 4. There's two ways to see Christianity. One is heresy and the other is truth. Christianity to most, unfortunately, is it's things that you get from God. You get salvation, you get healing, you get peace, you get mercy, you get grace, you get wisdom, you get sanctification.
Favor.
Or favor. But the scriptures declare that Christ is those things, that he doesn't give them. And so in order for that to be manifest, then, we have to go back to the predicate that we've talked about. The only basis that you can look at the scriptures from the eyes of God, or with the eyes of God, and be in agreement, is that you died on the cross. And so if you're dead, you get nothing. Now you're a new creature, a new thing, that's born not again, you're born from above. All right, Acts 4. Let's start in verse 10. This is when Peter and John were in prison. They're before the high priest now. Or did this just before they were in prison? In verse 8, I'm sorry. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Maybe this is easier for me because the takeaway from my conversion experience was that I could never again do or get anything to help myself. And that's unusual, I've come to realize. Because normally the conversion experience, for many anyway, is that now you're getting good stuff from God. And it's not very subtle if you really see it. But if you don't see it, then you don't see it. Everybody understand this? What way? Okay. You look like you left. Okay, Romans 1.
I was looking to leave, but I didn't see any questions.
Unlike the last time you left. Verse 16, chapter 1, Romans. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, we've even got Bibles now. They're the Good News Bible. They're called the Good News for Modern Man. We have preachers all over the place preaching that. The gospel is good news. It's good news to God. It's extremely bad news to man. It's the gospel of God. Gospel means good saying, good something. But it's good to God. Amen?
Yes.
All right. So Romans, let's go to Romans 10. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend from into heaven, and that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, if we don't see this, we'll believe in our heart that he's raised from the dead somewhere. Instead of its location of sphere, we believe that in my heart, or in my inner being, he has been raised from the dead. So again, he isn't giving salvation, he is salvation. Let's go to Ephesians. Well, that's enough of that. Let's go back to Luke. That we should be saved from our enemies, and the word from is out of. Our enemies is ekthros. That means that which is hated or hostile, that which is enmity. The primary one for this is Romans 8. So let's go back to Romans. Verse 6. Or verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they are in the flesh cannot please God. Now enmity is the ultimate hate. We are hated out, I mean, we are delivered or saved by Jesus himself from out of our enemies. But yet, every day, even in here, we see that people are trying to use their mind, which is cursed, to gain that which is blessed. Can't happen. So when I say, do you understand? It's really a trick. What?
I'm just thinking that the highest thing the mind can do is try and mix the gospel with self. At least I know this about my mind here, that if that's the goal, then it supersedes evil because it's all about Jesus. So you mix him up with self and you think you're doing a good thing until you understand the preaching of the cross and you can't negotiate that point out.
And then you just deceive.
Yeah, it's the pristine deception. And that's to me, that's what religion is all about.
But that isn't the highest of reason. Let's go to the highest of reason. Go to Isaiah 1. See, it's Gary's fault that we always take these side trips. Verse 10.
1:10?
Yep. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Oh, he's talking to the Jews. He's talking to Christians.
The high holies.
To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full, or sated is what it says, of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, i.e. to pray, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. Or put away your doings, which are evil, is what it says, from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, what does that mean? If you really are honest, if you have the integrity to really look at things honestly, the highest that reason can take you is that your sin is as scarlet. Amen?
Yeah.
Everybody see that?
No escaping.
But talk, everybody uses this. You get even political speeches. Come now, let us reason together. And it stops there.
This is really powerful because the people who are doing all these sacrifices really think they're doing a good thing.
Amen.
Sacrificing to God and blood and everything.
All right, let's go now to 1 John. Sacrifice. Verse 11. Oh, we're no stop. Let's look. We're going to read chapter 3. the first part of it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons or children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now that's the most to me, that's the most incredible verse. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That is, to me, the best news from my standpoint. Because the hope, again, hope isn't used in the New Testament except and outside the resurrection. And so if you know that you have the hope in yourself, then you purified automatically. That's what that means. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure, or because he is pure. And so the only question is, do we see him? Amen?
Yes, it's like he is pure, and there's nothing about me that is pure.
Right. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. That's, do you hear that? My only question is, did you sin yesterday? Of course you did. But the one that sinned didn't see him or didn't know him. Why? Because it's a new creation that has no truck with the old except as a vessel. Right? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is right. Righteousness sounds too religious. He that doeth right is right, even as he is right. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. I mean, do you see the simplicity of this?
Yeah, it's a very clear line.
And then, this is about these sacrifices stuff. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Again, what did Cain do? What's the difference? What does that have anything to do with us? It's all over the Bible. Cain and Abel. Cain dug around in himself and tried to find something. He dug around in the earth, if you will, and for us it's in this earth, trying to find a way to please God. Abel saw the mystery of God and slew the lamb. That's all. And for that, Cain slew him. And I promise you, you, a son of man, will continually try to slew. You'll slew around trying to slay the righteous one. crucify the Son of God afresh. You count the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing every time you become the subject of your sentence. Amen? All right.
I just think about Abel, and what we know of Abel is the last sentence, so to speak. He sacrificed the lamb. But what happened in him on the way to that event? What revelation or what understanding, or how did he get it?
He saw Jesus.
He woke up in the morning and saw him.
Well, the only way you see him is the same way he saw him. He saw the emptiness and futility of his own efforts.
Yeah, see, we always make everybody higher than us.
No. That's what...
And that's the...
Yeah.
But Abel had to have been beat up and suffered and kicked around. Whatever it took, I can only imagine.
He had a period where he took a lot of drugs.
He went out for his cigarette and came back 12 years later, or 8 years, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of books about this that are kind of creepy. There's the Testament of Adam and Eve. And it's just some imaginative guy wanted to write this down. So, but every once in a while, there's a gem in it. Because
the Bible's always so silent on all that, what leads up to stuff. Just like even on Christ's life, they don't tell you all these little details.
Well, they don't tell you there's silent years. It was totally silent from his birth until the eighth day, and from the eighth day until he was 12 was totally silent, and from 12 until he was 30 it's totally silent. Why? Can you imagine what would, if we knew what Jesus ate? I mean, everybody would, I'm going to eat what Jesus eats. That's what people are trying to do it. No, there's all these, there's a restaurant in Snyder Plaza. And I can't remember the name of it, but essentially the implication is that you're eating what Jesus ate. You're eating, you know. I mean, it's just, those things are just so goofy. All right, let's go to Luke 19. They're really these chapters in Luke are really long. We read that, didn't we? But this is Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to him, "This day salvation come to this house." All right. Oh, we're in enemies nowhere. Ephesians 2. Yeah, let's go to Ephesians 2. I should have stayed in order, but Gary got me out of the...
Yeah. Those guys feel better after using their cat and nine tails on themselves.
Well, we can get you one.
I'll help you out.
Hello, friend.
Verse 13. Well, she has one already.
Oh, I stand corrected.
She uses it.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, what's it talking about? About this having two, this two, and breaking down the enmity. No. It's between the Jews and all other nations. Now there's neither Jew nor Greek or American. And now the enmity is broken down in him.
So the bigness of that is that he had used the Jews exclusively to show him.
Right, and neither do the Gentiles no more have their value. Not because they still had the same value as the Jews before. In other words, it's what it is, if you think about it, it's over and over and over and over. It shows the mercy of God. Until finally, when they killed his son, it's over. And his own right arm has gotten him the victory, his own seed, because there was no man.
New man has no relationship to this old man.
Except that he uses the vessel. The old is just the vessel. Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, all old things are passed away. There's no more reference to self, except as a throwaway. All right, we're going to spend more time on enemies and hate about what that means, but we're done now. Anybody have any other thoughts about all this? The point of it, the takeaway for me, and I hope for you, is that he is all the things that you think you'd love. And the moment you try to get them independent of him, then he'd become an enemy of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big guy.